Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, thanks for joining us for episode 67. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Not too much. I cannot believe the number, though. 6-7? That's
six,
crazy.
6-7.
It's getting up there.
It is right after 6-6 and before 6-8.
This math is
I'm
getting,
a math guy.
Math is getting difficult around here.
You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
Week going okay?
Yeah.
Eating chips.
Yeah, I got my Twizzlers, or as my friends calls them, Sizzlers.
I like sizzling. Stuff that's noisy on the radio.
Yes, you do.
Just don't crunch into the mic.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
I'm trying
I like my
to.
Chips.
But everybody all right? Yeah, good.
Yeah, we're good. We're here. It is hallowed ground, right, for Wednesday evening at the podcast studio, the mothership, right?
We survived Memorial Weekend. And
yeah, we did.
All mm-hmm. that. Yeah, yep. good. Because by the time the listeners hear this, it'll be, a couple weeks away.
But. We went to William's team, had a get-together at one of the family's houses, and they had a pool, and they have a huge backyard up to a wooded area. And we played slip and slide baseball. Well, not baseball. Dodgeball with a big beach ball, kickball kind of thing.
That's funny.
And the kids played first, and so then they took on each other. Then the parents played, and then the parents took on the kids, and so it was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I hate to say who won, but I think you guys can.
Kids.
The kids won. Yeah,
Nate and I.
How did you know?
Yeah. Yeah, kids.
We killed them. No.
Nate, you had a good Memorial Weekend, everything. You survived. Yeah, good.
Went down and floated at Lake Cumberland.
Nice. Yeah, I need to get there. I've had a few people say how nice it is, so go check it out.
We'll have to crash their party someday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to show
up. Todd, Sean, what are you doing? This is my vacation. Get away from me.
Yeah, I know. It seems like he always goes...
Go back home.
Yeah, after we record. No.
Or keep going south, right?
Exactly, yeah. Well, we're glad that the Creepies are joining us for episode 67. And Sean, you have some announcements?
I do. I have a first part of the announcements. The first thing we want to do is give out the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline, because this is a mental health community, first and foremost. So the Mental Health Hotline is 1-800-662-4357. And we also like to give out the Suicide Veterans and Bullying Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255 or text 838-2255. Also, there's a bullying website, and that is stopbullying.gov.
Thank you very much.
I'm good at accentuating that nowadays, aren't I?
I like that. Bullying.gov. I like that. You did a good job.
I'm near professional at that.
You are darn near professional. We'll just leave it at that. So thank you for that. And
No problem.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, we have the live indie show coming up in July, and here's the promo for it.
Tracy, we are so excited for our upcoming live event in Indianapolis with Tragedy of Cinema and Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
Yes, we're looking forward to seeing all of you.
I'm Todd.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Sean. And we are Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
We are looking forward to sharing some creepy stories with all of our hometown listeners.
I'm Jimbo with the Tragedy of Cinema.
And I'm Kyle, also with Tragedy of Cinema.
Indy is also our hometown, and we have the perfect horror movie to break down for you guys.
Come out and see us on Saturday, July 16th at the VFW on South Lockburn and help veterans at the same time.
All three shows are clean, so this is a family-friendly event. Tickets are just $20. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
So there you go, guys. Get your tickets for the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show, us and Tragedy of Cinema.
Go get you some, right?
Go get you some. I was waiting for you to say that. Yeah, so tickets are available. It's going to be a fun night. After that, I have my dad stat.
Da 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 da.
Dad stat.
We got okay. Yeah. We never landed on any kind of music, did
no,
we?
We're just making up as we go. Okay, here we go. This week's dad stat of the show. the odds of an average person dying from contact with hornets, wasps, or bees, it is 1 in 63,225.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance you can die, but 63,225.
Unlikely. Oh, my gosh.
So there you go.
I act like I'm the one that's going to die.
Oh, yeah?
I hate them.
Oh, man.
I call him Satan with wings.
You've been stung before.
There's a lot of questions I would like to know when I go to heaven. One of them is, why did you create wasps?
Why?
I don't get it.
Yeah. Mosquitoes. Do you hate us? Is that what?
Mosquitoes,
that
wasps, and I hate ants.
Ticks. Yeah.
I mean, uncles are bad, but ants are the worst.
Mosquitoes are the worst, yeah.
My boss at the church says that ants clean up a lot of the garbage. They take care of a lot of the, yeah. And I'm like, they're still annoying. I mean, why, you know, come on. We got garbage guys, no. So there you go. Hey.
I like it.
The average person, yeah. Yeah. I got stung by a bumblebee when I was 5, right at the bottom of my foot. I was
stepped on it.
I was kicking the ball in the backyard. Man, right on it. You thought I was dying. And I haven't been stung until like 3 years ago. Just a regular bee, you know, got me in the garage. Well, that little sucker hurt, but I mean, I don't have any reaction.
So. I was bolting up a connection on a building I was building. Got stung on the back of my neck, smacked my head into the column.
Oh, my gosh. I bet your job. I was going to say, you probably interact with a lot of insects of the winged type.
And then, first one, sting that I remember, I was at my aunt and uncle's, and it's hot out, and it felt like a sweat rolling down my back.
Oh.
So I reached back there, because I could do that when I was younger, reach my back.
Yeah.
And, it was a wasp.
Ooh,
stung me in the finger. Yeah, that hurt.
Is this a bad time to tell you I've never been stung by anything?
You haven't really?
Never been stung.
Huh. Yeah.
I know. I'm not bragging because it'll happen if I start bragging.
Elijah's been stung a couple of times by
Harrison
a wasp.
And Claire have both been stung, yeah.
Mm. He didn't like it.
We're at the park, and Dane got
hit
by a nest.
Oh, my gosh.
He got stung like four or five times and he was just standing there. He didn't know what to do.
Nest or bees? Or
wasp, yeah.
Ooh.
My sister took Harrison and Claire out. It's been a couple summers ago, but Harrison had this tank top on. And they weren't gone any more than 10 minutes, and here they come back. And I was like, that was a quick bike ride. And she's like, and Harrison's like crying and like patting his chest and stuff. A bee got into his shirt, and he's trying to like stop. And,
oh, yeah,
you know, get
it
out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it was wreaking havoc on him. I felt awful. I felt awful, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, the C's and the D's are bad. I mean, the B's are bad, but
you can't sympathize with them because you've never been stung.
That's right. No, but I still felt bad. I didn't empathize, but I felt bad.
You're like, I'm just glad it was you.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
better you than me.
You say, I can feel your pain. Kid. I really can't feel your pain.
Oh, gosh. So there you go. You got a chance, right? Like Sean said, there's a chance. So 63,225. I thought that was an interesting little stat there. So, Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about in this episode?
Well, tonight we have had a wonderful guest chat with a fellow podcaster named Kristen Amanda. And so we hope you enjoy this talk. Here you go, Creepies.
Hey, Creepies. We have a special guest for this episode. She is a fellow podcaster. She has an awesome podcast called The Paranorm Girl Pod. And her name is Kristen. And let's welcome Kristen. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're great.
Doing well. Thank you for coming.
Doing well.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really love your show. I've been listening.
Well, thank you very much. We've been enjoying your podcast as well, and I'm glad that we could finally get this started or, you know, going on the guest chat. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I've been so excited about this.
Awesome. So let's get into, if you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, maybe your background, where you're from, and then how did you get into podcasting and this paranormal genre?
Sure. Yeah, I'm from everywhere, a little bit here, a little bit there. I grew up in Washington State and then spent 12 years in Montana. And after college, I moved down to California, and I was there for about a decade chasing the acting dream. And my boyfriend was a stand-up comedian and a writer, so we went down as a team and did that. And after, you know, some time and not being able to afford much of anything, we decided it was time to maybe find a place to buy a, you know, a home we could afford. So we moved down to Louisiana around New Orleans. We both really love and appreciate, especially the New Orleans area, you know, just the history and the people are wonderful here. So that's where we ended up. That's where we are now. And yeah, background, really, I was acting for a very long time since I was a teenager, professionally, just for like the last 15 or so years. I toured across the country and did some live performance shows and was in some movies and commercials and all that. And I started a production company at the time, and we did some stuff with that. And I didn't really get into podcasting until round about 5 or 6 years ago. I was a dog walker. You know, imagine that, a dog walker and an actor in L.A. So I would pass the walks listening to all these incredible shows, not thinking any of the wiser that someday I was going to do that. But, you know, I always went to the true crime podcasts and the paranormal podcasts. Those are my favorite subjects. And then fast forward to 2020, the height of the pandemic, and I hadn't been acting for a couple of years at that point. Just some, you know, like a medical diagnosis actually kind of put that all on halt. But I still had that performance aspect to my life. Like, I don't think that ever goes away. So I was just sitting there thinking, you know, I was still working at the time, but I had some extra time on my hands, and I was thinking, you know, what would be really cool is if I could do something with this performance. I love these types of podcasts. I don't know what I would talk about. I do love the paranormal, but I'm no expert in anything. And then it kind of clicked. It dawned on me, you know, maybe that's where I can come from, is the fact that I'm not an expert on this stuff. I'm a fascinated skeptical believer in this stuff, but I don't really know what it all means. You know, I don't really know what I believe or think about it, because mm-hmm. I don't know that much about it, like the nuts and bolts about it. I bet other people would like to hear, you know, the concept of shadow people or hauntings or demonic possession, like every single, you know, thing about it, like that background and that history and the experts and all of that, and really get this whole world understanding of it like I would.
Sure.
And so that's basically when Paranorm Girl was born.
Awesome. That's a heck of, yeah. First of all, I want to say, yeah, what a city that you live in, New Orleans. That would be cool because of all the history and all the paranormal, you know, stories that come out of that city. So that would be awesome to live, you know.
One of the most haunted cities in the country, right?
No kidding. What a great city. I've never been there, but I've heard
it. I haven't
sure
either.
Is. Yeah, and everybody, you know, the people that grow up here, they know all the stories, and it's just mm-hmm. kind of part of the culture and the lore here. Yeah, I live about 2 miles away, actually, from the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
So, oh, wow.
I mean, one of these days, I might get a picture of them.
There you go. You have to post it on Instagram.
Make for a great episode, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does your boyfriend, does he still do stand-up comedy, or did he, does he still do that?
He does stand-up comedy for me, just personally, because he thinks he's funny. But,
yeah, right.
Yeah, no,
don't all boyfriends and husbands.
Yeah, me and his mom. Yeah, no, he does still write quite a bit, and we do still do some film projects here and there, but the stand-up comedy kind of stayed back in California.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can imagine the going from California to Louisiana, you know, the cultural differences.
The shift,
you know, yeah. That'd be a heck of a difference, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just black and white, just totally different. It's like a whole other world here.
Sure.
Terrible drivers here, though.
Oh, right. Really? Is that right?
Terrible. Yeah. You wouldn't think so, but yeah, nobody can drive here. And it's strange, you know, it's when you're saying that L.A. traffic is better comparative to
wow,
New Orleans,
that is saying
traffic.
Something. Yeah,
really?
It's a big claim, but it's true.
Wow. I would not have guessed that. I think LA's always known that, and New York City always known for their terrible, horrible traffic and driving and all
rudeness.
That. And yeah.
right, But I, when I think of New Orleans, I think of the ghost thing factor, of course. But I also think of good food. I think of Mardi Gras, of course. I know that's stereotypical of me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think of like down home people too, though. You know, like the Southern hospitality, and I don't know if that's even like remotely close to like part of it or not. Down the culture down there. Because I know it's a Duke's mixture of people, but yeah, it's a place that I definitely want to go down and just experience. I know it's they say it's a cultural experience, but then there's so much history down there too, that those layers make it fascinating to go down there and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never been to New Orleans?
No, I haven't been. Either. I'd love to go though.
Yes. Well, now is the time. Now that the pandemic is kind of over, we're on the other side of it.
Right.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. You know, yeah. Make sure you get a trip down here, because it's really an incredible place, and there are some incredible people. That being said, I moved here kind of expecting that Southern hospitality kind of on a full scale, and I was very surprised because, you know, people can be horrible everywhere,
right,
and that includes down here as well. I had a day job just like everybody else, and it was often in retail or sales, and, you know, especially in those environments, the people that you're serving aren't necessarily always the nicest.
No.
And that can leave a bad taste in your mouth, of course.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Well, and they're the ones that you remember. I mean, I was in banking for 15 years. When I started as an 18-year-old, I remember, here I am, 51 years old, I remember my first, they were members instead of customers, but the first member that yelled at me at the drive-up or drive-through, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, I don't know what I did, you know, gave them the wrong amount of money back. I have no idea, but I messed up, and they just ripped me, and it made me, you know, intimidate as an 18-year-old kid, and they were like in their 50s or 60s, and so our a lady that had been there forever, she was like, I'm going to tell you right now, she's like, it won't be the last time you'll ever upset anybody. You maybe caught them on a bad day. She's like, they're only 10% of it, because, and that's who you're going to remember. You're not going to remember the nice ones, because that's going to be the majority. But the ones that are going to stick out are the less pleasant. And yeah, that's still 33 years later. I'm like, yeah, I still remember. But what's funny is they ended up being, but I was there for so long. They were two of my favorite members going forward. They just must have had a bad day. But yeah, you can always get bad, you know, nasty people. And then, but I think most people are, I don't know, courteous or at least pleasant, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and you got to, you know, especially in the last 2 years, people have been extra stressed.
A
lot of stress, so I get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's you do, when you experience that day after day, you do see that side way too much. And, you know, it can get you a little disgruntled. You
Absolutely.
Know, a little bit.
That's understandable.
Especially
too.
Retail. I've never worked in. Well, I did. I guess
food,
I worked
retail, healthcare system, and banking. I think those are, anytime you deal with the public, it is.
Yeah.
It can be rough. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. So living in New Orleans, Kristen, do you have you gone on any of the tours or anything like that, and any investigations or anything?
Yes, they used to offer this awesome. It was a paranormal, like overnight paranormal investigating tour, actually, we went on. And you spend the entire night, like 8-10 hours in this back house. It was out back of the actual, like people were currently living in the main house up front. But the house out back used to be the old, like slave quarters back in the day. It became like a tuberculosis kind of housing place. There was a lot of just energy in this place. It was really incredible. So we got to ghost hunt there. It was, you know, marketed as a tour, but, you know, it was like a real ghost hunt. And we got to walk around with all kinds of equipment, and I had the recorder and the headphones on, and caught a couple of things that night. That was exciting. I don't think they do it anymore, but and then we just recently went on one of the swamp tours here down at Honey Island Swamp. And, you know, just you get on the boat. It's exactly what you would expect. You get on the boat, and you're zooming across the swamp and down the rivers, and they take you all into the, you know, the overgrown shrubbery, and you feed marshmallows to the raccoons and see some wildlife. Yeah, that was cool. So, but those are the only two that I've done so far.
Okay. This, you called it the Honey Swamp. What is it called? What's the
The monster.
It's just the Honey Island Swamp.
Honey Island Swamp Monster. I don't think I've heard that cryptid. I don't know if I have.
Maybe we thought we'd heard all the cryptids, and we know we haven't.
What's the story with that particular creature?
Yeah, well, it's a glorified Sasquatch. Really, that's all it is. There's some minor differences. Its hair is supposed to be like a yellowish, grayish, you know, greenish with moss.
Ooh.
And yeah, like alligator feet. That's in some of the stories, and just stinks. Stinks to high heaven. He's just out there chowing down on the wild boars. And I keep calling him he. Maybe it's a she. I don't know. The first sighting of it was back in the, I want to say, 60s or so. This guy and his buddy were out in the swamps hunting, and they came upon this animal. They just thought it was just, you know, like a bear or something, just hunched over eating off this carcass. And, you know, they were like, okay, well, we better get out of here. And they started backing away, and I guess stepped on a stick or whatever, and this thing shot up onto its feet and turned around and looked at them, and they were like, oh my god, that's a humanoid thing. And they got out of there, and they would go back like later that year and get plaster footprints of this thing. And yeah, it's a whole big thing down here. People really believe in it. Like, you don't go out in the swamp alone. You do, you don't come back.
Take a buddy. Wow. Right. The buddy system.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
Take a weapon.
Place I always wanted. If I go down there, I want to go see the I always say it wrong, I'm sure. Is it La LaRue or La LaRie Mansion? Because I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've heard it both ways. Yeah, I think so. But that has such a horrific past, and just some of the stories out of that. I would love. I know you're not allowed to go in it. You can only go close to it, but. I think it's still privately owned. Oh yeah, Nate's pulling up a picture of your cryptid, your swamp monster.
He's definitely one I would not want to. He or she. Yeah.
You don't want a mystery date with him.
No. Looks like he could rip me in half.
Yeah, but the La LaRie Mansion. Yeah, that's another favorite of mine. And I don't know if I mean, I know you can't go into it anymore. Well, and
Nicolas Cage owned it for a while, right?
Yeah, Nicolas Cage owned it for a while, and then I think it changed hands again. I don't know. The amount of times that it's changed hands is kind of absurd.
It's profound,
but
every couple years
it seems to.
I've been thinking about buying it, too. So change hands one more time, right? I wish, no. Yeah. I don't think I wish, no.
Well, with the amount of apparitions and ghosts running around there, maybe they wouldn't mind that at all. So
yeah,
it's
that's
a
right.
good deal.
Change of spirit.
Yeah, I can only imagine how many, you know, I went to Savannah last summer with the family, and we went on a walking ghost tour, and I can't, you know, they have tons of tours, and I can't imagine, I would imagine New Orleans has the same. I bet there's, you know, all kinds of different companies that take advantage of that, which is awesome. Because
New Orleans, actually.
New Orleans, yeah. I used to call it New Orleans when I was little, and then the last few years I call it New Orleans, but who knows? Anyway, but that would be that'd be an awesome city to visit for lots of reasons, but definitely the creepy factor would be very cool. Yeah, we got to get down there.
Yeah,
so Sean, put that on the list.
Yeah, well, I haven't been. You said you were in Savannah and did some walking tours.
Yeah, we did one, and it was great. It was a perfect night, and we saw there was five. You know, they're all within a mile, I think, or there's 2 miles maybe, but five locations that we would walk to, and then he would tell the story about. He would tell the fictional story, and then he would tell, okay, what this is what really happened, you know. And so it was kind of neat to hear the fun, you know, the fictional part, and the people that kind of just ran with the story and kind of made it their own, but then the actual factual part of it. And then he had a little iPad with him, and he would show, because he's a tour guy, but he's also an investigator, and all these places he has done investigations and overnight stays and different things like that. And so he would show on the iPad some of the things that they captured from their investigations. So it was really awesome. And there's only 8 of us, and my wife and 2 kids. We have an 11 and 14-year-old. I wasn't sure if they were really going to enjoy it, but they did. And it was just so cool. But, you know, you're walking in this city that's, you know, from the Civil War and farther back, and just the beautiful mansions, but all the different stories of the paranormal so it was really cool. So I would imagine New Orleans would be very similar, you know, with all the history.
I'm telling you, you guys got to make it down. You can stay at my pad.
Okay, there we go. Sean, write that down.
It's kind of funny that when we were, Nate and I and our families, we went down to, yeah, for fall break, we went down to Alabama. So we were all the way down in the lower part of Alabama, Fort Morgan. Mm-hmm. And our wives said, why don't you take a trip, you know, maybe take a couple of the boys, go to New Orleans from there. And I said, well, how far is New Orleans? And she's, oh, it's like 2-3 hours. We looked it up and we're like, what was it, like 5 or 6? We're like, oh. She's like, oh, it's just a couple hours. I'm like, a couple hours.
It wasn't close.
It was not close. I was like, you got to go all the way back up into Alabama and around to Louisiana. I'm like, no, it's not that close. So they were like, oh, we thought it was closer.
Yeah.
Looks real close on a map.
It's deceptively far away down here. Like, I have a buddy of mine. He runs a podcast, but he used to do some investigating over at, what was it, West State Penitentiary? And so I was thinking about, you know, maybe joining him or going to, there was a convention there recently and I wanted to go, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah. It's just like, a state or two away. Like that's not too far. And I was like 14 hours from here. So,
oh man.
Like, well, wow. There goes my convention dreams.
Yeah. Right.
Seriously. Gosh. Yeah. Now, Kristen, how long did you live in, LA or California? How long was that? Did you say?
I lived there for 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
So did you, so in LA, did you do any tours, investigations, anything like that, or any stories from the paranormal from?
We actually did do one paranormal investigation right before we left. It was the office building for where my boyfriend worked, and it used to be an old funeral home, and they had like the mortuary in the back, and you know, the examining rooms and where you set up the the people and stuff before the viewing, and they still had the old chapel there on the side, and so they his coworkers and you know the management and all that, they approved it, and but they all had stories, you know, all these stories of seeing these figures just out of the corner of their eye. One was talking about she'd be sitting at her desk and feel, you know, like eyeballs on her. You get that perception, and she'd look up and see a figure down at the end of the hall, but you know, it was dark, so she wasn't sure, and she turned on the light, of course, and nothing was there. So we're like, okay, well, there's something here, and we like to do this, we're interested, let's just go and, you know, investigate. We don't know what we're doing, it's our first one, but let's try. And so we got to spend overnight there and cut a couple of things. But yeah, it was more, my favorite part of that was the research. I realized that is where I would shine on any paranormal investigation, is I love doing the research. Mm-hmm. I love looking at the history and digging up the old, you know, records of the building and finding out all these things that most people don't know. But yeah, I guess that would probably be the only one. We didn't do any of the regular, you know, like tours and stuff around Hollywood, because we lived in Hollywood. Every day was a tour.
That's fair. That makes sense.
Paranormally speaking, though, that's really the only one that we got to do there. There's surprisingly not a whole lot, considering just how haunted Hollywood is. You know, they've got amazing paranormal lore there.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. The story, I think everybody knows it by now, but the woman, the actress who, you know, threw herself off the H, I think it was, like a day before she finally got, she was going to get her big break. That's a big legend there. Just a lot with people will see, you know, Charlie Chaplin and old directors and stuff sitting in their old favorite, you know, cafes or cigar shops along the boulevard. There's some cool, and it's, you could just feel it, you know, it's just an energy there in that specific part of the city. It's very cool.
We did a mini episode on haunted Hollywood, and we had a lot of fun with that. And it was one where we were like, man, ooh, we could have done more, you know, because it is, I've also never been to LA. I've never been to Hollywood, and I would love to do that, because I'm a big movie buff, love Hollywood. I like old Hollywood too. So that would be, that's like right up my alley.
Yeah. You would love it. And if you ever go, yeah, definitely. You can find like a haunted tour or whatever. They'll tell you some of the history and some of the people that have been spotted. I would love to, if I ever make it back there, I would love to do something down at the Cecil Hotel.
Ooh, the Cecil, yeah.
Now that, yeah, that has become like a very big thing. I was there when that whole, happened with the lady in the water tank.
Oh, yeah. Right, yes.
Very weird time. Those videos really creep me out.
I'm a big James Dean fan, and I grew up in Kokomo, Indiana, and it's real close to James Dean's hometown, which is Fairmont, Indiana. And so I grew up, my dad and my mom are big fans of his too, and all the tragedy of his life. But it's so cool, and I love feeling that connection to him because he connects into so much of Hollywood, and he was such a flash in the pan. But it's so neat to see, an Indiana boy that made it, but then it was just such a tragic end into his life. But I've always felt a connection to him too, and love like his, three movies and everything. So I've always enjoyed going to see his old, house. So I'd love to see, his connection there in Hollywood too, just again, in a brief period of time, but that has always fascinated me. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and of course Marilyn Monroe, just these old actors and actresses that just have these incredible lives, just legendary lives, and then cut short like that, just in such tragic ways.
Marilyn Monroe shows up in a lot of places, doesn't she? Yeah, she frequents all over Hollywood.
I think everybody sees her somewhere.
Right, exactly.
She gets around. Yeah.
She does.
did you ever visit Hollywood Cemetery? By chance, did you ever go there?
Yes, I was there a few times. They actually did these really cool during the summer outside movie nights, got to go and it's going to sound disrespectful, but you would go and lay out your blankets between the different mausoleums and the headstones and all of that, and you would sit there with them and watch the movie and saw some great movies. Blade Runner, that was a good one.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
One of the actresses Harrison came up Ford. Afterwards and did a little Q&A. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but that certainly sets the mood, too, when you're
it's
looking
spooky,
around.
It's spooky, but cool,
So I got to do that a couple of times. That's a cool cemetery.
Yeah.
So they didn't play Night of the Living Dead?
Nobody would watch it.
Yeah, that'd be...
I'm sure they did at some point. I missed that night.
They say that's like watching Jaws in like a lake in a little tube, at night, and like, oh, something's got my legs.
Makes it a little uneasy.
Off the beach.
Yeah, the beach would be really weird, but a lake, I think I can handle it. But yeah, that's cool. No, because there's just, you see at least I do, some of the accounts I follow on social media, a lot of them go to the Hollywood Cemetery and try to get EVPs and, try to capture maybe a ghost, walking through at different times of the day or the evening. So, I was just curious if you went there because I know it's a popular destination. And of all the people that are buried there, who knows? maybe there's something. Yeah.
What do you, I'm the host here. What do you think about actual catching energy in cemeteries? I've heard so many different things about them actually, being there, things actually being in cemeteries.
I've heard a lot of reports over my life, and it's funny that you mentioned this because we have cemeteries around, obviously, Plainfield, where we're at here, and different areas that I've been, I've always enjoyed taking walks in cemeteries. I told my kids that the other day, that actually taking a dog for a walk in the cemetery, not normally some, I mean, I've done it at
He's
night.
Weird,
I'm a little weird, but there's a piece to
it. All right, no.
Right. There's a piece to it, and I was walking our dog Judith the other day, I was thinking that, and I don't know. I even went by the mausoleums, and I was just kind of, you just get this energy. So I truly believe that there's possibly stuck energy. I like to think that our, ancestors, relatives, have moved on and they're not really there per se, but I think there's definitely energies in there. Sometimes dark. I mean, I don't know that it's always light, but I've always gotten, for at least the ones I've been through, have always been very peaceful. I know there are cemeteries out there that don't have such a good reputation, but I find that there's a peaceful energy.
I honestly have not even thought about it. I think, just with my faith, I believe that, it's either, I don't think my dad, is at his grave. I haven't seen it in 20 years, 25 years. Not true. Jeez, about probably 10 or 15 years is what I meant to say. But I think there could be something, you know, some type of energy in graveyards or cemeteries. I just don't know. I really haven't thought about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
now.
We have some amazing cemeteries here, of course. They're all tombs, you know, above ground tombs.
Yeah, right.
For, you
sure,
know,
right.
Reasons you would know. But, yeah, actually one of my ancestors is buried over in the Metairie Cemetery, and I just went this last week to visit her tomb. And, you know, I'll sit out on the steps that are out front and, like, talk to her as if she's there. But I'm sitting there afterwards thinking, like, you know, that would be terrible. You know, she died in 1925. I hope that she's not still just, like, sitting here, like...
sitting on the dock of the bay.
Waiting around.
Right.
Yeah, you hope for better, right? She's, No, I get it.
Yeah.
I and actually, I don't... of all the different places that you can go as far as... hoping to have a paranormal experience, meaning like, okay, you know, haunted, you know, graveyards, cemeteries, hospitals, asylums, and all that. Those places are I was going to say the cemetery is the last place I would choose. I haven't really been big into it, you know?
I think the interesting thing about it is that maybe, like, as humans anyway, on this side of it, we are probably more receptive when we're in a cemetery because we're thinking a little bit more. The spiritual sense of it. And maybe that's when, because I think you can connect with people anywhere on the planet, honestly, that from the other side. I don't think the veil is very, I think it's very thin. But I think that maybe we're just more, some of us are more receptive in the cemeteries to our loved ones.
Yeah.
So I think that may be part of it, the psychology of it.
Yeah, kind of tuned into that that energy or frequency or something. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we can connect with them anywhere, but there are certain locations that just kind of invite that extra sensory from you, like just having your feelers up, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think we all have a bit of a psychic ability or that ability to connect. Some of us just don't always remember some of the powers that we have, but, or aren't aware, but yeah, I think that does elicit it in us. That's my belief.
Yeah. Well, I've been starting research for the next season, actually, and learning quite a bit. It's all about psychics and mediums, and I don't really know much about it. I usually don't with these subjects that I go into, but just reading a lot from, you know, books and various online sources, of course, but people saying that, you know, we all have these abilities to do this. It's just a matter of, you know, it's like a muscle. You have to strengthen it for yourself. So you have to practice and kind of tune into it and, you know, just be aware. And I don't know if that's true, but I'm kind of testing it for myself for the next couple of months. I've been reading a how-to book, how to do it. And there's a lot of meditation involved. So,
right.
You know, if anything else, maybe I'll just be a lot less stressed by the end of it. But,
that's right. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Meditation's always a good thing, right? I wanted to say one thing, and that this connects back into your podcast. I like the way, first of all, I like the music. It draws you in. Your voice draws you in. But I like the way that you take the paranormal and you're taking it apart, you're dissecting it, and you're trying to understand it from a very scientific, analytical view. And one, you know, you're very clear, like, I haven't had experiences, but I would like to. I'd like to know why people are having them. So I find that fascinating that you set up that frame of reference early. And I think that makes people very comfortable. Like, okay, I'm right there with you. I understand. So I like the fact, and you feel like a truth seeker to me, somebody that's like, I'm looking to see, you know, I may not understand it all, I may not believe it all, but I want to know, I want to find out. So you're talking to as many people across the spectrum as you can to get your answers and to get your truth.
Yeah. Well, you know, it always seemed to me like people are so sure. They're so sure about what it is, what they think, what they believe about it, and they either are fully skeptical about it or they're full-on believers, and neither of those camps really know, like, enough information, I don't think, to know why they think the way that they do. So, you know, I find myself in this kind of, like, I am open to it. I'm open-minded to it, but I am skeptical, you know,
right.
I still need to see that kind of proof. And that was actually a big surprise to me. As I was getting into the show, I started meeting a lot more people that were just like me, who they are open-minded skeptics, and they just want the truth.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, that's, yeah. you know, nobody is a cynic here, where skepticism is simply just, I don't have the proof yet. Once I do, then I'll know, you know?
Well, that's, I think it's refreshing to have that, because you're very unbiased. You're, like I said, you're analytical and you're objective from where you're coming from. Like you say, I'm not a skeptic, but I'm also not a blind believer. You know, those are the things, and that's where you start. And I think that's a great place to start, because it's not extreme either way. You're starting from, you know, the middle and working your way. And I like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
I'm hooked.
I try to stay unbiased. There's a few things I know, and I am very transparent about it. If I am going into something with a bias, I'll tell the audience. So I'm very transparent with my audience about it. Like, especially with the demons and possession stuff I just did, you know, I did have a bias going into it, but even with that bias, like, tread carefully, you
right.
know, like, I still want the truth at the end. I want to know, or as close as I can get to it. Of course, we'll never fully have the truth, but as close as I can get to it, and based on the things that I learned, then I'll make a decision. So I do try to, you know, tread that fine line and stay as unbiased as possible.
I think you do a good job of it. I really do.
I'd agree.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Now, we've gone and done a few investigations, and I have had some experiences, but I am still a skeptic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But open-minded. Yeah,
but open-minded, yeah.
Isn't that interesting, though? Like, even with people who do have these experiences, that you can still be skeptical. Like, are you question what you saw?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily question, but, or maybe it's a hunger to see more, to prove more. Not that I'm 100% buying it, maybe.
Yeah.
Or want to know why. What's causing it? Yeah.
Curiosity, you know, and just intrigue.
You're probably talking about Whispers of State, where when you have the footsteps and what,
yeah,
like
Whispers of State, but then
Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah, Bobby Mackey's.
I think we're all the
Nate Waverly.
Nate gets to hear all the things and experience, and Sean and I get nothing.
He's our spirit magnet.
Although at Waverly Hills, which we just did back in April or March, I don't know. Sean and I had a few things.
We did.
You guys had.
Yeah,
stuff.
We all actually did.
And you can't like dismiss it, because we did hear something. Now, what caused it, we don't know. So that's when you go into the, okay, maybe, you know, maybe
on
it's
an
this,
investigation,
maybe it's not this.
Don't leave Nate's side. That's right. Our tip from now on.
I think it's more of a thirst for more.
Yeah, it gives you a little.
So I stay skeptical to hopefully see more.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sense.
Like, is there ever some kind of evidence or a certain point where you would stop? You know,
yeah.
I don't think that there is. Like, ultimately, if we found the full truth tomorrow, like, there's still part of me that I do want more as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there is a certain amount of fun, especially with the paranormal investigating as well. And it's just very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of paranormal investigators that I've been able to interview on my show. And it's just like, you know, I don't do video when I'm doing my interviews, but you can just hear their face light up as they're talking about their
That's
experiences.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
All
it's more than a hobby, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's really
it's a passion.
Calling, you know?
Yeah, it is a calling. You're right.
Yeah.
I like, in just the 41 episodes that you've had, you have had like psychics. That's a huge thing that you talk about. The Mandela effect, Mandela effect. You have had several paranormal investigators. I have not gotten to listen to all those, but the demon possessions you talk about a lot. I did get to listen to the interview you had with the priest. I thought that was really interesting.
Was that the two-parter?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting to delve into his belief system and where he's coming from his frame of reference.
Sure.
And I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you.
From the exorcism.
That was a really
exorcisms.
Well, so
that's
cool
fascinating
to me.
Yeah.
Well, Archbishop Plato, I mean, we couldn't be more polar opposites as far as, like, you know, where our foundation lies. But still, it's so cool to listen to somebody with such polar opposites of, you know, where they're coming from, just to try to learn and understand, you know, that that exists. And yeah, he was really cool. That was a lot of fun. That whole season with the, you know, going through exorcism and possession and, you know, demonically haunted locations and all of that, that was such an eye-opening experience, like truly. So I'm glad I did it. I'm glad it's over because it is.
It's spooky, isn't it? Yeah. Well, the fact, and you're talking to an archbishop. That to me, when you hear that kind of that's like saying, "Let's talk to the president of the United States." You know, that there's a certain amount of like respect that comes with archbishop. You know, like, oh, this guy knows his stuff, obviously. So that also has to be a little intimidating.
He certainly did know his stuff.
Yeah.
I especially appreciate him because I did kind of go into it like, oh, he's an archbishop and an exorcist, and he's been doing this for decades. Like, you know, it kind of straightens you up a little bit.
Sure, on your toes, right?
Coffee. Yeah.
No, I think you did great. I think you answered
well, right?
Or asked the right questions. I could hear the respect in your voice. And I from a listener, I could hear the respect in his voice too.
Like, back to you, yes.
He wasn't trying to force you to believe what he does
or demean you. Right.
You didn't do. Yeah, I mean, you guys had a good. It was a great,
it was professional.
Yeah, it was very done well. But on both sides, you guys did great, and I loved it. Yeah,
so. I like that you're talking about shadow people. We've talked about shadow people, but you also brought up like shadow animals. Yeah,
episode 7.
I told you, I'm bebopping around. It's a buffet to me. But you're talking about them being time travel ghosts, and you're talking about the Hat Man, and I was just like, oh man, this is like our bread and butter. So I find those fascinating too.
You like shadow figures and Hat Man stuff?
Like is probably a strong word, but yeah, I enjoy the subject, yes.
that was our second episode.
I just joined a Hat Man appreciation group on Facebook.
Did you really?
I don't.
That's awesome.
Yes, I love it.
It's brand new. They've got like 5 people, but I saw it. I was like, ooh.
Oh,
that's hilarious. That's awesome.
We'll be 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, I'll join it. Yeah, and I wear hats all the time, so
yeah,
I'm kind of like
a over there. Yeah, it's that subject in particular is such a, oh god, it's so creepy and intriguing and mysterious, and like that's one of those subjects, those paranormal subjects that most people, they don't know enough about it to know why they are afraid.
Right.
They
that's
just
right.
See all of these other stories, these stories of encounters, you know, on Reddit or on Facebook or whatever, and somebody had a bad experience. But, you know, as I was going through it, and this has been one of the biggest revelations throughout this whole thing, is that fear it stops progress and it stops you from learning what, you know, what the truth is, what's really going on, what is your truth. But, yeah, just that fear. And so they take that and it makes them afraid. So they think it's all bad when that's not necessarily the case. And that's not, you know, the conclusion that I arrived at anyway by the end of it. But yeah, that's shadow figures and the Hat Man and, you know, the old hag and all of that, those nighttime creepy crawly creatures, those really intrigue me.
There's a lot of people have had experiences with said, you know, shadow people, and they said they actually felt comforted.
Like
they actually
yeah.
felt like it was a guardian angel type presence. They didn't feel intimidated, scared. They didn't think they were going to be attacked, and they felt comfort. They, you know, they'd wait, maybe wake up, and whatever reason, they would see this creature, and then they would actually just fall right back to sleep. I don't know. They just felt like it was something there that was not going to like it was. And a lot of them say that they're more interested in us. You know, like they're trying to figure out what the heck are these creatures? Yeah, what are these humans?
I found since having this I'm so sorry to talk over you. Since having this podcast, I have found that's the most common stories that people want to share with me. It are the shadow people, and they're hit. And I've had several people tell me shadow person stories. And you're right. Sometimes they're very negative, or there's a fear base. But then there on the other side, there are people that are like do take comfort in them and have a whole different perspective. One girl, she said she's been seeing the same shadow person since she was a little kid. And I'm like, that to me is just wild.
Yeah. I just heard a really fantastic interview with a lady who's been seeing the same shadow figure. It's a Hat Man character, not the usual one with like the fedora or the old, you know, like 40s, 30s kind of style that a lot of people see. It's a little bit more modern than that, but, you know, been seeing it her whole life, still sees it. And she's, you know, in her 40s or something now. still sees him every now and then, and he's always been a source of comfort for her and always been there when she was in trouble or feeling like, you know, afraid or whatever. And there is that side of it that really made me pay attention was, yeah, there's all these kind of negative or perceived negative experiences, but then there's these stories that you don't often hear about. Like, you really have to, you know, pull it out of people that good things happen too, or, you know, just even neutral things, like neutral experiences, but good things. Like, I've heard multiple stories now of the Hat Man specifically being kind of a like a protector almost, you know? Like, yeah, like a comfort, a source of comfort, and not doing anything that is could be perceived as negative or bad. So that kind of stuff, like, how do you justify saying, well, this whole subject, all of these things are bad or demonic or evil, when you've got these good stories too? Like, these things happened as well. So how do you, what are we saying here? What, you know, what's going on?
I think it's interesting, that whole point of what they're trying to figure out, or they're trying to study and figure us out, just like we're trying to figure them out. Or, yeah, it is interesting to think that maybe, you know, there is a benevolent. I think ultimately the universe is benevolent. I really do. I know there's dark, there's good and evil. There's forces at work that we're not always aware of or attuned to. But I do think, it's ultimately benevolent. And I think, I've always, ever since I was a kid, believed that good wins in the end. You know, that is the idea. And so I do think of that too. Like, just because we don't understand it, or but it's spooky or scary or creepy or gives us the chills, that there may still be a good explanation behind it. There's something positive, a positive message.
Yeah. Just because something is dark, you know, that doesn't automatically make it evil or bad. I'm with you on that. Like, I tend to believe that it is a benevolent universe as well. In fact, I've stated multiple times and throughout the episodes that I didn't really have this concept of evil, like in the universal scheme of things, evil being a real, like a thing. I don't see it anywhere but within my human experience. I see it in other humans. You know, we do terrible things. But I've never been, you know, attacked by an unseen force. I've never been, you know, hurt like that or anything that I would be, you know, perceive it as evil. So I'm kind of with you there. Like, I like to look at it all as benevolent, or they're curious, you know, studying us, watching us for some reason, something like that, more of a curiosity thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I believe in good and evil in a faith-based way. But I think, as far as talking about shadow figures, it's not all just one.
It's a little, or not the other. Black and white. There's a
pun
there.
Well, and what's interesting is a lot of people see these creatures during the daytime, you know, in their house or outside. It's not always just in this, you know, at 3 a.m. or midnight or whatever. It's a podcaster I listened to. His wife was by herself. And she was sleeping on the couch, just taking an afternoon nap. Beautiful day, sunny, the, you know, sun shining in the windows. And she had kind of like that paralysis, which I've experienced. I had that, and I've talked about on our show. But and she saw a figure a little bit away from her, but, you know, close enough to freak her out. But it was a hat man, or whatever you want to call him. And she felt creeped out, but she didn't feel like he was ready to kill her. You know, she didn't feel like to that level where it's, oh my gosh, my life is in danger. But it was more of a, she couldn't explain it. And then by the time, you know, she snapped out of it and was able to move and all that, he was gone. So there was nothing, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like he was there, and she kind of had this paralysis feeling for a couple minutes and then just back to normal. But she, so it was just kind of like, what in the heck happened? So she wasn't sure. She didn't think he was threatening, but then again, it's like, why is this happening? It wasn't the best thing to happen. So it's just, who knows? That's the fun part. Who knows?
Yeah, I can't say for sure that if I were to ever encounter a Hat Man that I wouldn't immediately be
freaked out.
A little freaked out, yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it reminded me, I told it on the conclusion episode recently, but I did see something, like something that might be perceived as being not all that great. It kind of looked like the lady from The Grudge, you know, that kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
In the, in the middle of the night. And, you know, skeptics can look at this story and say, well, that's just a hypnagogic, hypnopompic hallucination kind of thing. But I woke up and I sensed something in the room. And I turned to look, and in the far corner, there was this, you know, this woman standing there in her, you know, black hair in front of her face. And she was just standing there. Like, she didn't do anything. She didn't move, didn't talk, nothing. And my logical brain is thinking, like, looking at her, thinking, okay, that's, you know, that's not real. She's, you know, lay your head back down. She's not going to be there, okay? So I do. I lay my head back down. I look back up, and she's gone. Now, if we want to look at this as, okay, this was a paranormal occurrence, like, ultimately, what was wrong with that situation? Nothing happened. She didn't do anything to me. She didn't hurt me. I didn't feel afraid. It actually felt quite neutral and calm. It was a calm experience. But yeah, I don't know. That's just one of those things that could be perceived, like somebody might wake up and be terrified of what they're seeing. But in that instance, I was just very calm and nothing came of it. So I don't know. It's one of those experiences too. Like, I do look at it as a skeptic, like, did it really happen? But you know, there's that part of me that's like, well, I saw her.
Yeah,
I saw it,
right.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. To switch gears a little bit, we got a little bit of time left. What is your take on aliens and UFOs and all that good stuff?
Say that again.
That's right. What is your take on aliens and UFOs?
All right. I don't speak a whole lot about aliens and UFOs. And I've said this before, but it's only because they're not paranormal to me. They're real. Like, of course they're real. Mm. Like, for us to believe that we're the only intelligent species in the entire universe, we're it. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So it's not because I've seen something or been abducted or anything, but it's just, I feel like statistically, like mathematically speaking, it is impossible that we are alone in this universe. So yes, I am on board with the aliens and the UFOs. I think they are out there or here already. I don't know. I don't know
right.
where they are, but I do think they exist. Absolutely.
Sure. Okay. I was just curious. Yeah. Cause, I'm not a big alien UFO guy. Nate and Sean, I think they like them a lot more than I do, but
we like talking about it.
since we've been doing the podcast, I've kind of, you know, I don't know. It just, and I don't know what my, you know, it's funny. We do our episode on something and we'll say, okay, what do we think? What percentage? And I think I was, what'd I say? 20, 80, 30,
you're pretty low. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Now I'm at least 50-50, 60-40,
which is a huge progress for him.
Right, right.
So we did something right.
Yeah. And it's just, but I love hearing some of the stories because it's kind of like the shadow people or other creatures. It's like, you know, some of them, they're just curious, want to know how we tick and what we are. And then some attack and, some, you know, it's just all over the place. So I'm getting a little more fascinated by it, but I don't know.
I find it interesting that we're hearing more and more reports on, you know, like the news media.
Yeah, and that's starting to make me feel.
And the Pentagon coming out like, we want to know like you guys do. That makes me a little nervous because I'm like, I think that's a little bit of BS in there. And like they're trying to either play catch up or the people they're letting talk aren't on like some of the higher level security clearances that they should be. Because I guarantee you somebody knows something like that is it's kind of like. So, yeah, that actually makes me a little nervous.
Well, you look at the amount of encounters that are coming out, the videos,
right.
The experiences that people are having. Yes, it's blown up. Like, there's so many happening right now. And then, yes, the fact that the government is wanting to talk about this stuff and get to the bottom of it right now. And the fact that the CIA has spent so much money for the last, you know, like back in the, I don't know when they were doing all of the research that they were doing, but the big CIA, you know, UFO dump that they finally put on the website. But yeah, the fact that they want to spend money, like our government is interested in it. So that alone, like kind of says to me, there's something there.
Yeah. Space Force.
Yeah, you're right, though. It has blown up just in the last few years, and it's like all over. I mean, just every day, pretty much, or something, you know, whether it's the government or just, the different sightings and just, I'm starting to creep up to the old, like, I'm thinking there is something there. Yeah. So
I do think if there's some kind of an alien, quote unquote, alien invasion, we should really be skeptical, because they're like, okay, now what are they trying to cover up if they're trying to throw that at us? Because it's like, I'm thinking the aliens, if they would have wanted to attack us, they could have attacked us hundreds, if not thousands of years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that's the point of it.
They would have done it a while ago, yeah. I'm sure, if there was some massive invasion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like 4th of July.
Right, yeah. Independence Day.
On
4th of July, right.
Yeah, Independence Day. I love that. I had never seen that movie. My wife did, and I love that
Welcome
movie.
Welcome to, what does he say? Welcome to the United States.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Randy Quaid, his character. But I did love that movie, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this would be horrible if that's how it happened. I'm like, but you know what? I don't worry about it. I don't even think about it. Like, that's one thing I'm like, whatever, but happened.
I know we've got a lot on our plate right
now.
Oh
my gosh, you know, that's all we need.
It's
right?
Funny, because it seemed like nobody cared all that much publicly.
That tells a lot, doesn't it?
Was, yeah, oh like, well, you know, we're kind of dealing with like our regular life stuff here.
We're beat down, yeah. Aren't we? As a people,
yeah.
that's a good part.
At this point, would it be a relief to be abducted? Just, you know.
Yeah, like, right. I know.
Take me on a vacation.
And I think it's you talking about like with the COVID, you know, and leading you into podcasting. It's the same thing for us. It was. Oh my gosh, we're just all having our souls sucked out. What can we do to help and put some light back in this world? And that's how we do this podcast. I mean, it's great guy time. It's fun. It's interesting for us. It gives us an opportunity to feel part of something, but we're also bringing other people in to try to make sure that everybody's okay, you know, and it is, to us, it's great. And I know you're getting to do the same thing, and that keeps your engine charged and your battery charged and moving forward and just bringing people together and giving them something else to think about besides all the horrific things that are out there in the world today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're providing, I mean, it sounds weird, but you're providing a service to
right.
people, especially if they're so interested in this, and you're providing them an escape and something to look forward to every week. So yeah, that does keep me going quite a bit.
That's why I started listening to podcasts a good 5-6 years ago now. And it was, I thought, Mom, I don't want to sit there and listen to conversations and people talking about this and that, but I find it fascinating. And you're right. It is. It's fun to be able to have a conversation without all the work and energy, but you get the benefits and the rewards from it. And God forbid you get educated or entertained.
You're like a fly on the wall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There's a lot of podcasts that started because of COVID. I heard one just the other day. They had no idea how to do a podcast. They don't have a radio background, anything in TV.
That's us.
It was us. No, but and they were saying that 2020 was. They were like, okay, I got to do something, just to you know. And there's a lot of podcasts that have been born because of that. So that's kind of a positive, you know, of all the negative that happened. But
2020 was the year of the
shite year.
Oh man.
Yeah, yeah, my show was my pandemic baby.
Yeah,
sure.
Right. Yeah.
But I just wanted to say, like, a show like yours, you guys do, is a very special one in my opinion, because the way that you guys, you know, you just banter and you go through all this, and it's just fun to listen to you. It really is one of those shows where you feel like you are a fly on the wall, or you're just a buddy kind of sitting there in the background listening to a conversation. And those are some of my favorite shows.
Well, thank you.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's very humbling, especially from you.
And we'll send that money in the mail.
Yeah, right. Checks in the mail. No.
Yeah. No, we appreciate really appreciate that, Kristen. That coming from somebody like you, that you've got a great show yourself.
Yes.
And it's like Sean said earlier, it's really professional. It's done well, produced well. I love the attitude and your take as far as going into this type of thing, like, you know, what's going on? If there is something there, let's investigate. Let's don't have a closed mind one way or the other. So you have a wonderful show. So, but we do appreciate what you just said. Very, very nice.
Oh, well, thanks.
Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm a try to keep it going.
Well, yeah, I'll say you better.
we love the fact that we can link up with people like you too in this, like, you know, just over a year ago, we would have no idea some of the connections we'd make. So it is so cool for us. We've had a couple handfuls of these guest chats, and this is one of our favorite things to do now is to make connections with people.
Oh, same. This has been one of my favorite parts about this. The people I've been able to meet, you know, now you guys, but I've made some incredible friends just by doing this. Like, I never would have met them otherwise.
Yeah.
And they're just the the coolest, smartest, just neatest people I've ever met. And yeah, I'm especially grateful for that.
You're talking about Nate now, aren't you? I got it. Yeah. We got it. Wink, wink, and nod, nod.
Just Nate.
I don't blame you. I agree. I was going to ask you, and then we'll wrap it up here and won't take any more of your time. So that kind of leads me. I was going to say, well, you kind of answered it. I was going to say, what's some of the favorite things of doing your podcast? You know, obviously, like we just said, you know, getting to interview and meet people. But what else kind of keeps you going? And, you know, is it the, I don't know, you know, anything you can think of that.
What drives you?
Yeah, that's a perfect question. What drives you? Yeah.
What continues to drive me with the podcast?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It really is this insatiable need to learn. I'm a big advocate of the education aspect of it. Like, this was always going to be a massive education, yes, for others, but for myself, like, I am genuinely every single week that you hear me talking on there, like, I'm genuinely learning a lot of this stuff for the very first time, and it just keeps me going every single week, because, you know, I get through this stuff and I hope that the audience is hearing a lot of stuff for the first time as well, and just kind of keeps you pulled along, you know, intrigues you. And I love education anyway. I'm a lifelong learner. that was always my school was a favorite of mine. So that is a big part of it. The mystery of it, I guess, whereas a paranormal investigator is going to keep, you know, investigating because they're driven to do it. It's their calling. And it's me with this mystery, this ultimate mystery. And, like, I want to get into really, really big stuff, deep stuff. Like, I want to do end-of-life stuff, near-death experiences, past-life stuff, like the really big, ultimate questions. So I'm driven to get to that point at some point. I'm not quite ready for it yet. But hopefully, yeah, one of these days I'll be able to get to the really big questions that I have.
I'm excited for that. Your passion for it is contagious too, I have to say that. Truly.
Oh, thank you. Goodness, thanks.
Well, I would suggest that all of our listeners listen to her podcast. And Kristen, why don't you tell our listeners how they can find you, follow you, reach out to you, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can find me on any of the socials at Paranorm Girl Pod. I'm always looking for stories. I do like to read listener-submitted stories of their personal experiences at the top of the shows when I can get them.
Okay.
pod@gmail.com. And if you want to learn anything else about myself, see any of the past episodes, anything like that, reviews, merch, go to ParanormGirlPod.com. And yeah, I think that's it. And of course, I'm on all of the platforms as well. So Apple, Spotify, all of the platforms.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've got three listeners here, and I just want you to be more successful and just keep going at it. And you do a great job. So keep doing what you're doing, Kristen. And we thank you for coming on our little show.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much. This has really been an honor. Well,
yeah, thank you for your time. We truly appreciate it.
Yeah, reach out anytime.
Oh, hey, I will do that.
Real quick, do you have merch? Do you sell merch? I can't remember if you...
It's funny that he calls it merch.
I do sell the merch. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I've got it on my website, yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
We always like to say, go get you some. So I don't know.
Go get you some Paranormal Girl Pod merch.
There you go. You can steal that.
I sell merch. Go get you some.
There you go.
There you go. Atta girl. Kristen,
yeah. And I'm going to tell our listeners, like we say every time for us, rate and review her podcast.
Yes.
That's what we like as podcasters. So.
Yes. Thank you. I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
I hear you. It's like, you know,
people don't understand how important it is, right?
They don't. I'm like,
right. How it's important. It really is. Like, just even the extra review and rating gets somebody who's new to scrolling through down and seeing that is like, well, you know, all these other people think it's great. I think I'll check it out too. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree. So, yep. Well, we won't take any more of your time, Kristen. We appreciate it as always. And thank you. We'll talk to you some other time. Hey, just got to, you know, throw it out there. You can be another guest, do another guest chat with us down the road. So
it's an open invite, right?
Open invite. Open invite definitely for you. Yes. So.
Absolutely. I would love
if you're
that.
Interested.
Well, thank you guys so much, and I appreciate you as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Kristen.
To you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Kristen. There you go, creepies. Kristen, she was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. She's got a great podcast, too, so definitely recommend listening to it.
It's good to get to know people, too. Like, it's mm-hmm. fun, you know, you listen to their podcast, you kind of get to know them, but until we really sit down and have a conversation, you know, but I have not been disappointed yet at one of these guest chats. And I enjoyed getting to know her. We have a new friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Like I said, we made that connection with her, and it's so cool.
Yeah, she is a cool gal, and I love that she lived in L.A., and now she lives in New Orleans. You talk about two...
She came from Washington and Montana, God's country.
Yeah, right.
Both
right.
of them are God's country, right? So,
and
yeah.
Lived in L.A. for, what, a decade, and then now lives in New Orleans.
I love the fact that she was an actress as well. That was really... When she said that, I was like,
know that.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. which makes, like I said, makes total sense, too, now that she's very professional.
Yeah, and her boyfriend.
Maybe she could teach us a thing or two.
Comedian.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. No, she was fun. She did great. And definitely listen to her show and follow her on social media. So
thank you, Kristen, very much.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll have her on again.
So. Yeah.
So, Sean?
So, what you got for it us? Is time. It is either time for that dark or light side. And I actually struggled with this one. And I was telling the guys that until I had three picked out, I had two dark sides and I had four, I guess. I had two dark sides, two middle-aged moments. And I decided to go with a middle-aged moment. And I also decided to go with a poem. I haven't done a poem in for how long or story or anything.
It's been a while.
Well, and I'll give you a little quick reason why I did this. I went to a graduation for my nephew. He graduated high school this last weekend. Saturday, we were at his graduation, and a basketball coach from Wabash there in Crawfordsville got up and did his speech. And he did a really good job, number one. But one of the things he read that hit me to the point where I actually downloaded this right away just so I wouldn't forget. It is a poem by a guy named Edgar Albert Guest, and it's called Can't. At first I thought, well, that sounds kind of negative, but it's
real. I thought you were going to say Edgar Allan
Poe.
That's what I thought. I wasn't sure where he was going.
When he said that, I was like, Edgar Allan, what? Edgar Albert Guest.
Okay.
So this is called Can't. So can't is the worst word that's written or spoken. Doing more harm here than slander and lies. On it is many a strong spirit broken, and with it many a good purpose dies. It springs from the lips of the thoughtless each morning and robs us of courage we need through the day. It rings in our ears like a timely sent warning and laughs when we falter and fall by the way. Can't is the father of feeble endeavor, the parent of terror and half-hearted work. It weakens the efforts of artisans clever and makes of the toiler an indolent shirk. I have to really get through some of these words. It poisons the soul of a man with a vision. It stifles in infancy many a plan. It greets honest toiling with open derision, excuse me, and mocks at the hopes and dreams of a man. Can't is a word none should speak without blushing. To utter it should be a symbol of shame. Ambition and courage it daily is crushing. It blights a man's purpose and shortens his aim. Despise it with all of your hatred of error. Refuse it the lodgment it seeks in your brain. Arm against it as a creature of terror, and all that you dream of someday shall gain. Can't is the word that is foe to ambition, an enemy ambushed to shatter your will. Its prey is forever the man with a mission and bows but to courage and patience and skill. Hate it, and hatred that's deep and undying, for once it is welcome, 'twill break any man. Whatever the goal you are seeking, keep trying and answer this demon by saying, I can. Mm. It really, like I said, I hope he was talking about how he couldn't remember the speaker at his high school graduation, and he's like, or college. And he said, not that they were bad, but it just didn't stick with them. So he was wanting something that they mm-hmm. said or that was said to them to stick with them and resonate with them. And this resonated with me. So whether it stuck with the students or not, I'm sure it did somebody, but, I felt very compelled by this and I liked it. I tell people a lot of times, you know, when I'm with patients, I'll say, you know, give me, you know, X amount of your time, hopefully out of the time that we're together, maybe even one thing that I say will resonate with you. So that's what I felt like with this, with our listeners, that they maybe that somebody needs to hear that message. Mm-hmm. And this is connected to Kristen too, where, you know, we talked about in 2020 where it was like, okay, we got to get out there, start feeling purposeful. We got to find some kind of a, you know, it's what they said, the 2020 babies, you know, the, that was our, you know, that's what we birthed out of, you know, disaster and pain and chaos. So we got rid of our cans and we had some cans and we got to keep moving forward with that too. Cause yep. it's not like things are getting easier necessarily. You know, there is, we've got to find and keep that light in the darkness because it's still out there fighting us at every turn.
That is true.
I can't believe you made it through all that.
I know. And there's a lot of words in there that it tripped me a little bit, but
that's why Nate came from.
Can't believe
I did it.
I didn't think.
I know. That's a smart.
No, that's good. No, that was perfect. I did, good yeah. choice. Good choice.
And I will save the other ones for another time.
Okay. All right. What else you got?
Second part of the announcements is what I got to get us out of here, right? We want you to follow us in a creepy way and a non-creepy way on all our social media platforms. We've got Facebook. We've got Instagram. And those are both Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. TikTok, which is at Mako Podcast, and that's two A's. And we are Woofers and Tweeters on Twitter now, and that's Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. So you can find us on those. Connect with us on those groups. Interact. We love it. Those are all growing, and that's fantastic for us because that truly makes our day, honestly.
Let's get creepy.
Let's get creepy. Also connect with us.
Okay.
Todd's like, I'll let you guys get creepy. Another way to connect with us is through our email address, and that's makopodcast@gmail.com. Two A's as well on that. Merch orders, tell us how we're doing, show ideas, input from shows that we've done, and just saying hi. Any of those ways to connect are, again, thrilling for us, and we appreciate it. So
I got input.
You got input?
Finish the story.
That's Tuesday Terrors, which is the next thing I'm going to mention.
I'm kind of missing that now. I was griping about it for weeks, and then I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
Crickets now with that.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh.
We just got to make the shirts, and then people remember, right?
Right.
So that leads us into Tuesday Terrors, right? Which are every Tuesday, right? So we have, well, now they're up to 10-minute stories and ways to connect, but we are sharing, you know, we're inching up into the 3-5-minute realms, right, of sharing a creepy story and then just seeing how you guys are doing, just doing our little touch point for the week. So we're enjoying those, and we're going to keep doing them. By God.
Okay. All right.
Share me. So also any listening platform, take your favorite listening platform and come listen to us. Word of mouth is fantastic. Tell everybody, you know, tell your wife, tell your kids, tell everybody, you know,
tell a friend and then tell another friend.
Yeah. Send out. We got business cards. If you need them, tell us, we'll give those to you as well. And while you're at it. Oh, wait, see, I'm reading the script way too closely, right? While you're at it, give us a 5-star rating and review. Not on the script. Give us a 5-star rated review if your app allows it, right? Mm-hmm. And we want you to go out there. We have merch of all kinds with our logo on it. Imagine what anything out there, just about appropriately. And we're out there. So come get you some or go get you some, right?
Buy you some.
Buy you
whatever.
Some. And we wanted to remind you that we have the offer for segment sponsorships on every episode. So if you're interested, email us, get in contact with us. And we can go over all the information on that when you do. Promote your business, just promote the show, whatever you wish to do. We appreciate that.
If you're an individual,
you can do that as an individual as well. Mm-hmm. Or brick and mortar business. We haven't said that in a while.
You'll just get your name mentioned and a little shout out.
So we appreciate that for the people that have done it. And we appreciate it for the people that will do it in the future. So. Shave and haircut. That's it.
That's it.
That's all.
That's it. Wow. That's all. That's over.
Good job. You did an okay job. Nate, help
mediocre.
Us out, man. We need help.
We talked about a lot of paranorm girl. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Yeah.
It always makes you sad.
Don't be sad, Sean.
Don't be sad.
We'll
be
back at it.
All right.
Yeah, we'll be back, I think.
Shortly, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. We got all kinds of recording tonight. Okay, well, thanks, Nate, for that. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode number 67 with our guest chat with Kristen and Amanda. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.